A few weeks ago, I went to my 35th high school reunion. And this is at a school I'm going to call St. Maybelline in Los Angeles, a small girls' Catholic school. And this was a multi-class reunion, five-year interval. So if your class ended in a 3 or an 8, going back to the 1960s, and I was class of 1978. And then there was a table or two for each class in St. Maybelline Hall. And then the nuns gave speeches about fundraising and what all the benefits of the school for past and present students and this sort of thing. But we did have it was a brunch, and we did have a chance to mingle. There are about 20 from my class, most of whom I hadn't seen in 35 years. But the girl I wanted to see most was not there. And I wasn't the only one who would have loved to see Kathy. There were about 20 of us there, and many people remarked as we leafed through the 1978 yearbook, I really would love to know what she's up to. Has anybody heard from her? Does anybody know what she's up to? So Kathy was not like the rest of us, who I could describe maybe as Valley virgins who sat in church with their 10 siblings every Sunday. Kathy was from Malibu, and Kathy was an only child and a rich girl who drove a red Porsche convertible. She was very loosely supervised by a Spanish-speaking housekeeper, and she was a wild thing, and she was a fast girl and very cynical, and dated older men, actual men, and I adored her. I adored her. And I got to know Kathy senior year in the fall production of a Spanish tragedy, all-female cast, called The House of Bernarda Alba. And she played the cruel matriarch, and I played her faithful servant. And we had many scenes together, and we wore white shoe polish in our hair and very bad old age makeup, and we thought we were real thespians. We thought we were wonderful. But we got to know each other, and then after that I was thrilled that she let me hang around with her, and she invited me to eat lunch with her and the other Malibu girls on the cement slab behind St. Maybelline Hall. And they would have like Diet Pepsi and Doritos out of the machine, and I had my little sandwich and apple from home. And I would just sort of hang out on the fringe of this group that really fascinated me. And I just want to clarify something. Kathy, when I said Malibu girl, red Porsche, you might have pictured like the blonde hair and all that. She was not like a Barbie. She was a big kind of manly girl with black curly hair and big bushy eyebrows and a very deep voice. She was a really unusual person, but full of confidence and bravado. I only had one class with the Malibu girls, and this was U.S. government. And one day, we were sitting in U.S. government, taught by the vice principal in charge of discipline. It was a very short, funny-looking young man from the South who we called Airedale. And we had lots of clever nicknames for the teachers like that. And he was one of the few men ever to teach it on our campus, and he didn't last long. None of them did. So Airedale is in the middle of class, and suddenly we notice that Kathy is sort of swaying and kind of chuckling to herself with her eyes half closed, and the Malibu girls all exchange nervous glances. And Kathy was already on thin ice for having driven her Porsche on the senior lawn and doing donuts around the statue of the Virgin Mary, which was kind of in an island of ivy, big white statue. And no one was endangered because this was during class time. But we all, of course, had to rush to the doors to watch this and cheer her on. So it did disrupt learning that day. And she was really on the brink, and rumor had it that she was only saved by a very large donation from her father, who owned a car dealership in Malibu. So here Kathy is acting funny in government class, taught by the vice principal, And so we're all getting pretty nervous. And Mr. Airedale was not as naive as the nuns. He knew what teenagers got up to. And as class went on, he kind of got this gleeful expression. And he's keeping an eye on Kathy, and he's asking questions. You know, who knows the difference between a bill and a resolution? And then Kathy would be shouting out random terms, you know, like term limits, or, you know, I don't know what. She'd just shout out various things from the textbook, kind of chuckled herself, and he'd say, no, that is not correct, and I did not call on you, Kathy, and this sort of thing. So we started passing her notes, and one of the notes, I forgot to bring them tonight. Darn it, I would have had a prop. So the note said things like, shut up, imperative, you must not talk, shut up, Kathy. But she'd just sort of ignore them. We'd just kind of slide them over. She'd ignore them. So this goes on. Really, Kathy, you must not talk. Shut up right now. He's on to you. And he's getting kind of a little grin going, and he's just dying for the bell to ring and it to be lunchtime so he can take her to his office and expel her. So Nancy, the only blonde Malibu girl, and kind of the second in command of this little clique, she signals to us to slide Kathy's purse over. So we kick it, this big slouchy leather purse, we just kick it over to her under the table, and she reaches into the purse and takes out something and drops it in her own purse. And sure enough, the bell rings, and Airedale says, Kathy, would you please come with me to my office and bring your things? And so she picks up her purse, and she follows him out the door silently. And so we race to our cement slab to have a conference. And so Nancy pulls out a bottle, a big brown bottle with a white cap, and opens them up, and Michelle says, Quaaludes, what should we do with them? And we're all kind of staring at the bottle. And I'm the self-righteous, moralistic little person at that time. And I say, we must flush them down the toilet. She shouldn't be taking drugs, and we have to get rid of the evidence. And the girls look at each other, and Josie says, but she'll kill us. And I said, well, she can't kill all of us. We'll do it together. So we march into the senior bathroom, making sure the coast is clear, and we all go into a stall, and I open the bottle. It's a tall bottle. There are hundreds of pills in it. I open the bottle, and I pour like 20 into each person's hand, and I say, ready? Okay. And we throw the pills in the toilet, and I flush the toilet, and I feel great because we're doing all we can to save our friend Kathy. And life is not going to be even worth living for me, at least. I look forward to seeing her every day when I go to school. It's really important for me that Kathy remain, you know, at St. Maybelline for the rest of our school career. So I feel great about this because now Airedale has no evidence, really. In those days, there's no drug testing or anything like that. So we leave the bathroom, and as we're walking out, I notice that all the other girls have one hand closed. I say, hey, wait a minute. Get back in that stall. And they kind of reluctantly go back and open their hands, drop the last several pills into the toilet. I check them all. They're all in there. We flush again, and now I'm really feeling confident. So after lunch, I'm in Les Chanteuses, our snooty choir, in rehearsal, and I'm in the choir room on the risers, and we're singing like a French madrigal about snow falling on chestnut trees or something, and Sister Claire is directing us, and all of a sudden I see Kathy's face in that narrow little window that's in the big wooden doors, and my heart sort of stops. She looks very unhappy, and she opens the door, and she says, excuse me, Sister Claire, can I please speak to Jean for a minute? And Sister Claire nods, you know, she's directing, I'm like, no. And I walk down the risers, and I follow Kathy out into the hallway, and the heavy wooden door closes behind us. And she shoves me up against the lockers, and she's got me by the lapels of my little white uniform blouse. And she's got me up against those lockers, and she says, "Did you flush my Quaaludes down the toilet?" I immediately burst into tears. "Well, it wasn't just me." "But it was your idea, wasn't it?" "Well, yes, yes, well, maybe, yeah, I guess so." "Do you know how much I paid for those?" "No, $90, just last weekend, that was a full bottle, $90. "Well, that's a lot of money." She says, "Why did you do that? What would make you do something like that?" And I said, "I love you so much. And it would make me so sad if you got expelled and I didn't get to see you anymore." So, of course, she softened her grip and smiled a little, and she said, "Stop crying. It's okay. Don't worry about it." And she walked down the hallway, and it went back into the choir room and kept singing. And she didn't get expelled. I'm not sure why. I don't know how things went down, if there was another donation or just not enough proof. And she graduated with all the rest of us a couple months later. And I never saw her again. Thank you.